Welcome to our next Buddhas and Butterflies call. We're working with the context of the fight response. I was reflecting this morning on the timing of this all as we head into the holiday season and we're kicking off the fight response. So may this be supportive as we move through the months of December and January and all that comes within those months. So that'll be intriguing timing. I did not schedule it that way in advance or on purpose, but it could be interesting to see how this dovetails with this particular time of year. And I was also reflecting on the topic for today, so transforming fear in the fight response in a way that's almost kind of like a freeze in and of itself if we are fearing the fight. So this is kind of a really interesting segue point between freeze, which we wrapped up last week, moving into to fight. So this is a kind of like a bridge is how I'm seeing it for today. So let's see what comes up. I'm gonna invite you to get comfy and cozy if you haven't already. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor that, to drink that in, to be with it. And just begin to notice what happens inside of you as you hang out with that all. And if any part of that is pleasant, savoring that too. And then I'm going to invite you on purpose to see if you can, we're going to play with resourcing in a slightly different way. I'm going to invite you to let your sense of hearing, your ears, just tune into the environment. See if you can find a sound or potentially a lack of sound that feels pleasant to you. Perhaps chirping of birds where you are. Maybe it's the general hum of activity outside your house or inside your house. Or maybe you can hear something else. Right now I hear the sounds of my dog. And that brings me tremendous joy to hear her. And whatever you locate, whatever you land on, that's pleasant and neutral. Taking time to savor that. And if for some reason that's just not coming together for you today, feel free to do it the other ways that we've done previously. Outwardly gazing, inwardly gazing, landing on anything and potentially that's pleasurable, useful, beautiful to be with, and savoring that. If it's possible, perhaps there's another sound to also turn your ears towards. And savoring that. And amongst all that you're receiving, all that you're taking in, all that you've drawn towards you as nourishment in this way, what is it to notice what happens inside of you? How has your body responded to this all? And if any part of that is easeful, delightful to be with, taking time to appreciate it too, to receive it in your awareness, to greet it warmly, and to be with that. Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here as you are. Thank you for all of you, all the parts of you, and all the places that they came from. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and thank you to this community for holding it in all the graceful ways that it does. With our collective attention or observation or focus, purpose. Thank you for bringing your awareness in these good ways. And thank you to the very land and those that have caretaken and stewarded us all in this indirect way by caretaking the land for us, so we too may receive its nourishment as it gives rise to our existence. And to our capacity to receive the sensual things in life as well, the goodness of life. So the deepest of thank yous to all of those that have sacrificed and caretaken and stewarded this land that has nourished us all, those that have come before, and those of us yet to arrive. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on your journey today. We're heading into an area that I'm going to describe anatomically, but it's not really correlative to any specific anatomy portion of the body. It's just above the heart, and on either side of a couple inches. And it's not even in landing at a particular acupuncture point, it's just this general region of the body. And although this area just above it relates to compassion, we're looking at the area just slightly below that. And it's looking at what gives rise to compassion. What's the foundation for what brings ease and a focus of being with suffering with others? And can we be with our own suffering in the same way that we're with others' suffering? Okay, so interestingly enough, to address this, we're starting off with the body chemistry, and we're looking at interesting wording. Addiction, addiction to suffering, addiction to that challenge, that pain, that hurt, that need to suffer or be tormented or tortured. And it's almost like that's built in to the ancestral lines, like it's built in as a requirement that we have to suffer. And although I don't disagree with that, there's definitely value in the challenges, the hurts, the pain points of life. And navigating, learning, and growing through those arising healings, awarenesses, insights. But this is more working with the understanding that anything can be excessive. And if we are constantly falling back on just a habitual way of turning to suffering, subconsciously for the most part, then that becomes an interesting cycle where we continue to get stuck. Since we work with this addiction to suffering, we're also going to run a C3 on it. Bring in C, circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with cheer, vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, and for that matter, much of our body too. And as we work with that, also bringing in the healing resources of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine. And then hydration, helping the cells to take in water, joy, releasing the impurities that just don't need to be here. Okay. Then the D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, take care of the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can readily be organized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may seem like there is none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. We can think of this perhaps as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as I continue to unfold, thinking now into something that is slightly more anatomical. It's thinking into the, not well, not slightly, it is more anatomical. It's thinking into the lungs. Okay, we're here working with, related to that, habitual sadness. That's almost been like a deeper underpinning of that that's been carried through the lung meridian. And it's carrying the essence of like things just never seem to get off the ground. Things like changes in particular never seem to get off the ground. Okay, which has led to the need to fight to make a change happen. It's like this has been a pattern that has cultivated the need to fight, which is continually fueling the need to fight. And it's really not uncommon at all for elements of depression to go hand in hand with rage or anger. So it might be really far away, very deep, shut down, but they almost always travel together from what I've seen over the years. So as we work with this, and this might sound counterintuitive given that we're working with the fight response, we actually need to welcome that anger that's been suppressed, that's underneath this all. And the words here are, your rage is welcome here. Your rage is welcome here. Okay, so you can imagine the fight response that's been shamed and shunned and hidden away, and then somehow like erupts in really bad timing and awkward moments where, you know, someone's like past assaults and you're like, you fucking bitch. Well, I'm extreme in my example, you know how that happens where you're just like, your anger builds and builds and builds, but the deeper you suppress it, then like the littlest of things just like siphon it out and all of a sudden it explodes volcanically. This is a really, and that's the dance in particular with the depression and the anger. So as we work with this, your rage is welcome here. What would it be to imagine that the anger, the angry parts of you, get to literally be welcomed in a way that our culture says, in particular for women, isn't okay? And what if that got to be a bit of a welcome rebellion, that you actually got to turn the tide of how mass culture and consciousness tends to greet and treat these things? And you get to be the so-called change that you're waiting for. It might seem like a counterintuitive path, but if we don't look at what's here, we can't actually make our way through it, to integrate it, to move towards something that might be more peaceful, or might be more welcome, or might be more beautiful and pleasant to be with. And on the other note, we're also not welcoming it just to move through it. It also is an energy force that's meant to move through us in good ways. It's meant to create movement, momentum. So what if we didn't have to work against ourselves for that all? As you work with this relationship between sadness and your rage, welcoming this rage, we're also going to run a seed on this for all the angry parts of you, all the angry parts of you, physically, psychologically, somatically, relationally, welcoming all the angry parts of you. And as we run this seed, you're working with, again, the capacity to, yes, integrate them, but not in, as a means to dismiss them, but rather to use anger in a healthy way, to use our fight response in a good way. And in particular, as women, we're often taught, don't speak up about that, don't defend yourself, don't say anything about that. And again, it leads to the shutdown and eruption response. So what if our anger and our fight response alike could be used as a means to actually be in alignment and to fuel your assertive nature? And as I say that, I just hear the fight response go, oh, like I can be respected? So actually welcoming the fight response, as if we can imagine that it's its own little human being. Yeah, and as we welcome it, offering the words like, yes, I will respect you. And what is it to respect your own fight response that others too can respect it? Yeah. I will respect you. And as I talk about that all, also releasing the victimhood of thinking, I'm a woman, so I'm going to be treated this way by society. And although that's very common, what if we can transcend that piece of victimhood to have a different experience? What if we can transcend that victimhood to have a different experience? What if being a woman wasn't actually the sole reason behind our suffering, behind our pain? And what if we could actually withdraw that part of the projection to experience something really different for our feminine nature? And with that, we're going to the left side of the body, to the yin, to the feminine. We're going into, in particular, interestingly enough, the lower body. We're going into the low back, the left side of the pelvis, the left hip, the left knee. Not fully low body. Left ankle, left foot. Sorry, not fully, just lower body is what I mean by that. We also need to link all of that through to the neck and this understanding that you, as a woman, are not inherently a pain in anybody's neck. As we unhook this idea of to be a woman is to be a burden, to be a woman is to be a burden. It's coming off of all things yin, this entire left side of the body, and genitals alike. And as we release it off the genitals, also releasing shame. And with this now, I'm imagining that we can all invite in an older, wiser version of ourselves. The person that actually has made their way through some of these challenges already, that's in our future. As we invite that essence in towards us. Welcoming her wisdom, her crone energy, through every single pore of her skin. And as she enters, another layer of shame releases now through the very pores of your skin. As we release, in particular, toxins in a mental level around beliefs that you've held around what it means to be a woman and to suffer as a woman in particular. And as that moves through the skin, running your body chemistry to support that release of the toxins, the toxic thought patterns, as well as unhooking the belief system, two of them, women are toxic and I am toxic. Okay. That's primarily coming off of the neck and the shoulders, like it's been somehow your job to uphold that at a cultural mass consciousness level. As you release this, again, hearing the words, you are no one's burden. You are no one's burden. You are no burden. You are no burden. And releasing that off of the upper back musculature. And with that goes a fair amount of hypervigilance, like you don't actually need to hang on to this or watch out for it. Because you don't need to hang on to it, you no longer need to watch out for it. It's almost as if there is a stuckness in trying to fix a wrongness that wasn't there to be corrected in the first place, because there was nothing wrong, so nothing could be fixed. It was just this idea, this illusion, this delusion. There was something here that you had to fix. And so you release that. With it goes the desire, the need, the compulsion to fight, to have to prove your worth as a woman in this world. Coming off of the back of the shoulders, the upper back, and the lower neck. And as it releases, it slides all the way down, all the way down, all the way off of the left hip and pelvis and iliopsoas muscle, the ankle, the foot, the knee. And even in through, there is a muscle called transverse abdominis that often helps us to limit how we're perceiving, receiving emotions and how it is we're expressing our emotions. So if we want to shut those down, this is a muscle that often does that. And it hangs out in the lower pelvis, lower belly, upper pelvis. But mostly upper, my goodness, mostly lower belly. Okay, then at the same time as all of that, we're heading into the ovaries, both of them. And they have an interesting desire. There's actually a desire to be naked, to be accepted, to be seen as they are without having to hide or mask. Or protect, or you get the idea. And as we let the ovaries just simply be there as they are, they actually get to experience the energetic nature and consciousness of acceptance. As that happens, at the same time, going into the left hip and the region around that, going up into the lower belly and releasing either for you or for the women in your family lines or both, likely both, going back 7 generations, this theme of betrayal. And it's not being betrayed by another man. It's being betrayed by other women, by being backstabbed by other women, by being gossiped about by other women, by being shunned by other women, by being outcast by other women, by being like gaslit, like made to feel absolutely crazy around other women. To the point where it felt like women were scary or hard to be around. And that impacting the essence of, I'm going to call it sacred sisterhood, and making it feel dark, wrong, beyond scary, potentially even terrifying, to the point where you may have even rejected your own feminine nature. And as you release this betrayal off of the ovaries comes those experiences of rejection in all the ways, so the ovaries can stand naked, open, honest in their expression of what they're meant to do, which is to provide will in a good way, will to live, will to be, will to exist, will to thrive beyond survival itself. Beyond existence itself. And if Will could talk, it might say something like, I can do something about this. But it has a real hard time doing that cleanly if we're constantly rejecting it, if we're constantly pushing it away, or we're constantly dealing with other issues that seem to get in the way of that. If we're constantly fighting with other women. And fighting with other women doesn't have to look like, the typical forms of fighting. It's the subtle jabs, it's the sly comments, it's the slightest bit of criticism masked and wrapped around love. I'm just offering this for your best good. It's the subtle barbs and jabs and insults that often happen between the lines, so to speak. And to release the violence of women's on women, towards women, for women, against ourselves, the ovaries begin to transform and actually see them dressed in, like, the words are golden goddess, golden goddess, and they look both like golden goddesses. And this time, their clothing isn't to hide or protect, it's actually to adorn their beauty, to express their inherent naturalness, their nature. And as their innate expression of who they are begins to shine, bringing the energy of the sun in between them both, and bringing in the energy of the moon to each ovary. So that they can stand in the presence of the masculine, but still hold, which is the sun, and still hold their sense of self and be dignified as through the moon, they get to receive a certain type of nourishment that the sun cannot provide. And through this, through contrast, through comparison in a good way, they get to. The ovaries get to see what they are capable of through their feminine essence in ways that the masculine simply can't provide. And the opposite is also true. There's things the masculine can provide that the feminine just can't. And they're meant to work together for the highest amount of nourishment and protection alike for us both. They have a hard time doing that when they're at odds with one another, when they can't see each other. So as we position the sun and the moon here in this way, the contrast, the comparison, they begin to illuminate those differences. They begin to set the stage for one to appreciate the other. And if you can imagine this as a permission statement, it's essentially the words, I appreciate you. And imagine the moon offering that to the sun. And the sun offering that to the moon, I appreciate you. And what about the moon on either side now? I appreciate you to each other. And as the center sun and the moons on either side continue to offer appreciation in this way to each other in all the different configurations, opening up to different forms of appreciation and magnetizing that as a nourishing source towards yourself. Not because you have to do anything different or fix anything or manage anything or learn something else, but simply because you get to be in this place of awareness that is you, that's inherently here all the time. And as this awareness turns its attention towards the masculine, the feminine nature, and appreciation in all the various ways, linking this through to the sexual chakra and the base chakra, starting with the base, as it links towards the base, the words here are, I root and ground in my sensual nature. I root and ground in my sensual nature. And as that rises up to the sexual chakra or the sacral chakra, the words change a little bit. And the words here are simply, I create. I create. I create change. I create something new. I create a new way of being. I create new opportunities to become aware. I create magnetism. I create. And with the foundation being grounded sensuality, creation gets to look a little different. Manifestation gets to look a little different than it ever has before. And that energy rises up to the solar plexus chakra for just that, to manifest your expression of your feminine nature's expression, to continually support your creative way of being that sensually gets to feel good. And the energy gets a little stuck in the diaphragm. We need to release the control mechanisms that have come in through religious indoctrinations, through indoctrinations through our school system, through our culture, that say that you have to work really hard to earn that right to feel good. You've got to really suffer first before you get to have the reward. It's got to be hard work or else it wasn't worth it. And to an extent, that can be true. But again, what if this is just a habit that's become excessive? As you release that through the diaphragm, the energy begins to rise through to the heart space and through to that area where we began. Just below, I call them the compassion centers, which hang on just a little bit higher, but that area just below. What is it to offer your love, your compassion, your capacity to be with the hard things, with yourself and with others, in a way that actually gets to honor your sensuality, your capacity to create and to manifest? And what if it's got to lead to a different way of manifesting what's been happening for you? What if, as we link this through to house 12, releasing the pattern of having done it the previous ways around putting suffering at the central point and stepping into the newness of putting in, what if it got to feel good at the center point? And operating from that lens begins to create a pretty massive change in our experiences. It opens up a whole new way of perceiving, receiving information, which leads to new conclusions, new understandings, and new behaviors that arise from that all. Okay, and with that, linking into house four, which is the place where we've actually consolidated our ways of being and operating the world to feel safe and protected. And what if this is a whole new pattern in play that you get to integrate all the way through on that fourth house level, all the way through to the spleen and the moon that hang out here, all the way through to releasing any old mechanisms of protection, hiding, masking that no longer need to be here. As that releases, as that moves through, running the permissions, it is safe to express how my feminine really feels. It is safe to express how my feminine really feels, which means we also have to be able to sense how your feminine really, really feels versus the pre-programmed ideas or the righteous rage, the righteous anger. That's been fueled by that victimhood. As you release that victimhood, again linking it to house 12, into the liver. And the liver, she's got a bit of a story to tell. She's got some rage of her own to release before this can really integrate well. And the rage here is about all the time she had to brace against masculine abuse for daring to express things in a different way that may have, not been logical, that may have put the intuition first, or sensation first, or feeling first. Okay. Here, also a past life, keeping in mind we don't think of past lives how most do. We don't think that you yourself have lived before or that you go on to live again. Rather, that when somebody passes on, all the unresolved energies enter a giant pool. When a new being comes into formation, they scoop up a bucket of that pool water and they sort that out in their lifetime. And this is a past life of a woman who was beheaded for speaking out against social injustices, against the wrongs in society, against the things that she felt strongly about. And as she was beheaded, it was just one more evidence, one more piece of evidence that there was something wrong afoot, that there was something wrong and not okay, which just fed even more righteous anger. And to release this, we're also releasing the bracing of the attack of the beheading, of embracing the or bracing against the potential violence and maliciousness of not just men, but the world, the patriarchal culture in its way. I actually see this as then linking into the metal element and then laying down, and bear with me here. The need for feminism itself. The need for feminism itself. Because again, we only fix what we perceive to be wrong. And if we perceive it as wrong, then it will continue to show up in our world as wrong. And what if, even in the face of all that seems to be happening with the imbalance, the gender imbalance, the gender inequalities that have existed for our lifetimes and beyond, what if, amongst that all, there was still a completely different way of being, almost like we could enter somehow this other realm? And it was just right next door. It's like right there. That says, hey, actually, I don't need to be beholden to all those old stories and all that old way that's been stored in the psyches of not just myself, but my family lineages. What if there was the opportunity to touch in on a deeper understanding, something that went beneath this, something that was beyond this? What if there's another way? If I know anything for sure, it's that there is always another way. There's always another way. There's never not another way. As I say that, I hear the women in your family line get a little bit curious. They're like, well, maybe we could try something different. Maybe we could try something new. What might that look like to not have to always fight for our rights. And maybe that'll actually change something. Maybe if I wasn't so busy fighting for my rights, I would actually just be able to experience and know that they're actually here within me. Now, obviously, there's been outside experiences that have said otherwise in many different ways through all time and history. And what if even if that was happening, we still got to experience the essence of liberation internally, because we knew something that the other people were saying around us was not actually accurate or true, and we could actually provide, compassion to the others that seem to be perpetuating this myth, this story, this idea. And there's something interesting that happens when we offer our perceived perpetrators compassion. They tend to lose their power. Because, in essence, we actually reclaim our sense of self and our power as that happens. So as that links into the compassion centers, offering you the opportunity to, as much or as little as you're prepared to in this moment, to withdraw those perceived projections of those that have hurt you. The men, the patriarchal culture, etc., even the women. And as you withdraw that, slowly delayering this idea that the feminine is a threat that needs to be managed, punished, handled, or treated with violence. And as that happens, linking it into the understanding that you actually have a voice and how this is all playing out. There is actually something to be done, and as we turn our attention, our awareness to a different place, something different gets to happen. Linking that into the energetic line that's roughly in the center of either side of the body. So if the left side and the right side have their own center lines. Yeah. And as we work with those lines, they correlate to the energy of love in another modality in breathwork. So what is it to love ourselves, our feminine essence, without the stories that have told us we must suffer, we must fight, we must hurt, we must constantly stay in a place of warrior-esque energy in order to get our needs met, in order to correct the injustices? And what if all that fight energy is the only thing in holding those injustices in place? What if that's been the division? What if? As we do this, releasing your relationship between your feminine essence and the planetary energy of Mars, which is very much about drive, divisiveness around creating a charge. And although it has its gifts, this is just not the place for it right now. Excuse me. And if we free it up from here, Mars energy gets to do what it does best. It gets to return back to governing, supporting, helping the lungs to breathe in energy, to circulate energy, and to respond to life by giving us the appropriate physical vitality to breathe and be in this world. What if, as we redistribute that old fight energy back to the Mars, excuse me again, back to the lungs, we get to do the same thing for the kidneys, as the Mars energy also governs that, giving ourselves, along with our ancestors, that the kidney connects to, the energy to do things differently and to release this old story. What if we got to finally lay our weapons down in this way? What is it to lay that down? And we're going to tap here, invitation to breathe, to receive. Okay. Giving that a slow, deep breath. And rinsing and repeating that twice more. Then we're heading back down to the genitals. And we're releasing the fight response towards pleasure itself. Releasing the fight response towards pleasure itself. And to do that, we give it its own mini body talk session. We're releasing this idea that women are not supposed to enjoy sex. That's come through primarily religious indoctrination. And as we release, I'm going to call it the puritanical consciousness. And since we're not supposed to enjoy ourselves, we need to also release it through the septal region of the limbic or the emotional brain, which hangs out in the midline just below the corpus callosum, which connects the two hemispheres of the brain. And it helps to, excuse me, work with bliss, well-being, and also orgasm. It's also thought to be the heart of the brain. Men have one nucleus here, women have four nuclei here that are connected to the pleasure centers of our brain. As we work with this, it's like the spaces between the different nuclei themselves have developed thick walls, so they're not actually talking to each other. And those thick walls are fueled with, again, that philosophy that pleasure shouldn't be here for women. And as you release this in this way, releasing shame. And then this is going to sound counterintuitive to everything I've said. I feel like in the entire session, and somehow it's still quite true. Releasing the need for the fight response itself, but on the other side of that, also needing the fight response on occasion to come in to do what needs to be done. So it's not entirely a bad thing to be laid down. It's just when we take it excessively personally that it's ours to do something with or that it means something about us. So we're actually bringing in the fight response to help bring down the walls that have been built here in the septal region of the brain. And my brain is very playful this morning. I'm seeing the image of the movie 300 where it's like men battling against what seems like impossible odds, and they make an incredible impact. So I'm seeing literally like that type of warrior energy come in through the divisions between the nuclei here. And then bringing in Mars energy. Can't make this stuff up. To now that it's been reallocated in good ways, it's actually more available to do the supportive role here, or protective role, however you want to call it, around helping to continue to dismantle the debris and to clean out the debris itself. We're going to run lymphatic drainage through this part of the brain, and then we're going to use circulation of all the healing resources to this part of the brain. And then I honestly don't know much about the goddess Aphrodite off the top of my head, but she shows up. And I just see her like blessing and anointing the entire septal region and all the nuclei contained here. And I believe she's the goddess of love. And she does her thing here. I see every, one by one the nuclei light up with the energy, the glow of golden lights as she offers her blessings to them. then running a cellular repair and restoring the cells back to their fullest potential health, particularly around these nuclei now linking up and connecting to one another. And here again is the essence of sacred sisterhood. As these four come together, they become good friends. Linking this all into House Five, House of Creativity, of Pleasure, of Play, of Innocence. How creatively, expressively, playfully can your sexual, sensual energy as a feminine essence be? Is the invitation to explore here. Without all the other heaviness of all the preconceived conditionings around religious indoctrinations through you or your family lines, or any other voice that says for some reason that pleasure is dangerous or bad or to be distrusted or has to be earned. What if you could explore this and see what it's like? Even if you can't quite feel it yet, I'll invite you to imagine that you can. As you deepen into this imagination, deepening into the possibility and being able to access this more readily, this might be something to revisit over the coming week, or days, or weeks, period. As much or as little as you feel called to, you can take that on as homework. And that in turn is linking into House 12 again, House of Endings, releasing, surrendering, allowing. House of Liver. And I hear the liver whisper, like, if I don't have to protect myself, I might be able to enjoy things a lot more. I wasn't so busy bracing against the expectation of attack, violence, suffering. Without that addiction to suffering that creates that, there's actually more room for me to orient myself to pleasure again. So underneath that old fight response gets to be a new expression. And then I see the liver lay its weapons down. And it does like a really deep bow, like child's pose, like a prostration. Prostration? Prostration, however I say that word. Running lymphatic drainage through the fascia of the liver. Clearing out, in particular, the consciousness of stubbornness and the desire to cling to old ways or to cling to the past because that felt like it was safer and easier. And we can imagine that whole pattern as a toxin itself, running one more body chemistry to detoxify that particular pattern. And then bringing into the liver, again, the energy of golden light that's coming now from the ovaries. The ovaries offering their nourishment in this way. And then the liver, as it governs the genitals, gets to also be supportive. And then the genitals link right back to the ovaries. So it becomes this unique, like, cycle of connection to orientating to pleasure without necessarily the underlying elements of shame or needing to push it away or fight against it. And as we do that, releasing times where it seemed like that was really not the case, releasing that through the genitals, in particular through, I'm going to call it the legs of the clitoris, like go through the labia, not the head. of the clitoris, but the like the clitoris is like a wishbone, so it's like the legs of the wishbone that extend all the way through the labia. Okay, we're gonna tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. To integrate this all, we're doing cortices for the septal region of the brain, then for the entire head brain. And then we're going to link that septal region through to the rest of the brain, along with the permission statements. I am accepted in my pleasure. I am accepted in my pleasure. I am accepted. And then we're tapping here, breathing here. Giving that another round of breath. As we bring this in for a nice soft landing, I've got just under a 3 minute song. I will not be able to pronounce the name of it. I'll do my best. Sestu Tanakanu. It's by Mau Kananisa. I'll post in the chat feature so you can actually see their names properly. I'm going to invite you to hear the music, to touch into that journey if it feels right for you. Pardon me, touch into that resource that you found at the beginning of this journey if that feels right for you. And to breathe and let this be. Receiving it with pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for all that you are in this world as you are. May this continue to live on in good ways for you, your families, your ancestors, your lineages, and all the communities, all that you touch and that you serve in this world. Thank you. Mwah. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. I'm so glad that resonated. Yeah, you're most welcome. Much gratitude to you all. Yeah. Mwah. Blessings on the rest of your day. And we'll see you guys next week. Look forward to it. If anyone needs any extra support, as always, feel free to hang out and we can chat afterwards. Okay. Bye for now, y'all. You as well. Enjoy your week, too. Bye. Thank you.